Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. More and more, I like to tell the audience that we need to get together with all of the people on planet Earth that are fighting for freedom and truth and justice and against this global governance takeover, this Hunger Games type scenario that these people do not hide. And there are few people on planet Earth right now talking about this, articulating it, and getting it out, and really informing the public and the masses, like my guest today. Thierry Baudet is, he will tell you in a minute who he is, but when I tell you that he is a voice that every American citizen should not only know and follow, but should understand, America is in the way of a global takeover of the world. And there are many other nations that are in serious, serious danger. And he is from one of them and is going to let you know the similarities to what is happening here that are happening there. Thank you so much for joining me, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to reach out to an American audience. And just what you said in the introduction is spot on. We're in this battle together. We are all facing the same globalist agenda in Europe as much as in America. So we have to cooperate. We have to reach out to each other. And that's precisely what I hope that we can start doing tonight.
Yeah, we are going to. And I do want you to first, because a lot of people don't understand that what is happening in the rest of the world with a deep state, with a infiltration of the globalists and all of that is happening in many, many nations. America is kind of late to the game and you're not. So can you tell a little bit about where you're from and what you do and so that they know the context of which you speak?
Yes, of course. So I'm from the Netherlands, which is obviously a small country in Europe, but it's an important country because lots of the things that are being rolled out globally have been tried first in the Netherlands. We are sort of a laboratory country. We are one of the experimental nations in this battlefield. And I'm the founder and leader of a political party here, which is called Forum for Democracy. We've been the only party in the whole of Europe, and I've been the only elected politician in the whole of Europe to have spoken out explicitly against all the elements of the COVID measures, from lockdowns to face masks to social distancing to the semi-forced vaccinations. We are the only party in Europe to have exposed the agenda of the World Economic Forum, the Sustainable Development Goals, which may sound attractive and interesting and sweet and sugary, but in reality, they mean the complete overtaking of our societies by a supranational monster, which is a conglomerate of supranational corporations and supranational governance that have sort of merged into this network that we cannot escape anymore from. We've been fighting the climate change mystique for many years. And I've written a book about that. I've written a book about my fight in Europe, which has just come out in the US. It's called The COVID Conspiracy, The Globalist Takeover and the Great Reset, which I'll hold up for your viewers to have a look at right now. It's available on Amazon in the US and globally. And I describe how I sort of discovered at this point, somewhere in the early months of 2020, that all of the COVID restrictions that were being pushed on us and all of the narrative about this killer virus, so-called killer virus, were in fact flawed. They were not true. We were being taken into this despotic, demonic, very, very negative domain where we were being set up against each other, where we were being isolated, and a lot of money was being made of it as well at the same time. So I started writing about it, and I experienced ostracism from the mainstream media. I experienced demonization from the established political parties. And I even experienced an attempted coup within my own party. So strong were the impulses for people to be part of this story, this narrative. And of course, in America, but also in other countries in Europe, other people from within the power structures, as it were, as I was in the power structure of politics have experienced the same kind of pressure. And it took a lot of courage and a lot of pain to maintain on that path. And now, of course, many of the things that I said a couple of years ago about COVID are being vindicated by, you know, science. All the people are slowly starting to agree with me now. But it was very, very difficult and lonely at the time, but super important to speak out. And I think there are lots of lessons to be learned from it. It was really, COVID was a wake-up moment for me and many of us.
Yeah, definitely. And what you're talking about is part of their goals. See, what you and I understand and you explain in your book, and I highly recommend your book for everyone out there watching. The link is below. For many reasons, especially because in America, there are too many people that still believe that this could never happen here. It already has happened here. And we are living in a situation where there's a lot of cognitive dissonance in America. And you and I are both very aware, especially when it comes to NATO and cognitive warfare and psychological warfare and propaganda and what they did to you. Of course, they've done it to me. I'm as canceled as anyone can be and censored. But we still keep going because people are, as they wake up, they demand the truth. They seek the truth. They can continue down this path of shutting up voices and silencing people and these, you know, they keep doing the color revolutions and all the things, but you and I are out there exposing it. And the more people wake up, the more important your information is, which is why your book, which it covers everything, because what you and I have learned over this time, you and I are on a similar trajectory, is that there's many mechanisms in place that don't appear to be working together. But when you really dig exactly around and you look and you follow the money, especially, and you follow the groups, that they are really I call it the octopus of global control, but there are just many tentacles that are necessary. And a lot of people look at the World Economic Forum and think, oh, it's them. But when I say, no, they're just one piece in it, they're very okay with being the PR in the front game. And you and I explain on both of our, as you speak around this public-private partnership and these multinational firms and these stakeholders, they've chosen themselves. I consider them, and of course I get yelled at too, a Fourth Reich mentality. They believe that they are above the people. It's very much like the movie Hunger Games if you read what they're talking about. So what they are talking about, and I want you to explain this to on a real level because you do get it, is something called global governance. They used to say one world order, a new world order. They've changed. I feel that they psychologically rebrand. As soon as they feel like too many people are onto it, they'll change the language. They're very good. I call it Klaus Schwabian. They're very good at turning language around. And we'll talk about the development goals. But what is global governance when they talk about that is the future? And basically, nation states are over. They want global governance. What does that mean to you?
Yes. Yes. This is an excellent question. And it's very important to distinguish between globalization, which is, I mean, we're having international trade. That's fine. We can travel. We're reaching out to each other right now. So we're having some kind of international alliance. But globalism is an ideology which is, in fact, is a merger of, on the one hand, a quasi-socialist state control, and on the other hand, hyper-capitalist money making. And it's very odd because, you know, in a way, these are mutually exclusive categories, socialism and capitalism. But what's happened is that the state has turned into a revolving door mechanism where taxpayers' money, the middle classes, right, is being used to fund quasi-monopolistic corporations. We saw this very clearly in the COVID situation, where the state was pushing civilians, citizens, to take vaccines, which were being paid for by their very own taxpayers'
right
money,
right,
which the state gave to big pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer, Moderna, and so on, who received from the state, first, immunity, and secondly, massive, massive profits. They were allowed to make massive, massive profits of it.
Right.
And that is a mechanism where which you know, power-hungry politicians like it because they can control citizens and they can gain a grip over society. At the same time, these supranational massive corporations like it because they can make massive amounts of money. And now the final element, which is that it's roughly the same people that are in the top echelons of politics and in the top echelons of these corporations. Right. And they switch from position to position. And it's not just with the pharmaceutical companies. It's also the same with the what we call in Dutch the military industrial complex. I'm not sure that term works in America.
Oh, it does. It does.
But it's a group of corporations that develop weapons that are in the military industry. And it's very, very remarkable that you see that the people in the board of Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and these companies, they're very often also senior advisors to some minister of defense, or they have been at the Secretary of State for many years and so on. So they switch from sides, they push for wars that the taxpayers have to pay for, and even sometimes have to give their lives for. But the profits are being made privately. So the costs are collectivized, the gains are privatized. The same is true with several other massive conglomerates of companies. The third example that I would like to give is the climate change business. Climate change is being funded, or the climate change policies, the policies that are supposedly preventing climate change. And by the way, the whole story of the climate change and carbon as a problem is based on flawed science. It's not a serious discipline. The supposed consensus is manipulated through carefully crafted tunnel vision that the IPCC is involved in, and so on, and the peer-reviewed magazines, and we can go into that if you like. But the fact of the matter is that we are seeing extremely costly climate policies across the Western world that taxpayers have to pay for. The middle classes are losing their financial, their robust financial position that they used to have between 1950s, say, and the years 2000. That's over. You know, a single earning family, somewhere with one person that earns money, the other one takes care of the family, the children, they cannot afford a house anymore. They cannot afford a car. They cannot go on vacations. They cannot easily pay for their groceries and so on. So there's really, you see that the middle classes are disappearing from our societies. And that's to a significant extent because of the climate policies that are so costly, right, that are making energy unaffordable, that are really running through all the elements of our society. The groceries become more expensive, cars become more expensive, houses, and so on. But so the governments are forcing that on us. But on the other side of the climate change policies are these companies that are providing for the rare earth materials, for the windmills, for the solar panels. And they are making extreme profits of it.
Crazy.
So there's something very off. And just one final, I realize I'm giving a very long answer, but just one final illustrative example of what I've been trying to explain here. The point is that if you take the COVID period took something like 500 days, and it also rendered 500 more billionaires. So that's one billionaire per day. And a lot of business, thousands of businesses were, enterprises were put out of business. Thousands of people lost their homes, lost their livelihood. And that's just a very, and I use the word demonic, but it's a pact of the devil, because the pact of the devil is that you have two powers that are meant to keep each other in check, the state and the market, but they have sort of merged and turned against the people. We're being squeezed by these powerful forces, and very few people are willing to speak out because there's so much profit to be found from it.
Yeah, and you know, we have to also stress in this, we talk about it both a lot separately, but together we have to stress that goal is also to end nation states. They do not want any nation states. They want this all controlled by a conglomerate. You brought up the IPCC. I'm going to bring up another one now, but we'll stay on that for 1 minute because a lot of people don't understand. The United Nations and the World Economic Forum have a pact. It happened way back with Kofi Annan. All the stuff with the IPCC happened way back with Limits of Growth, World Economic Forum around in the 70s as well. But they're very strategic. Unfortunately, the new generation are very arrogant. And as they dumb down, I believe, our children, they dumb down their own next generation. So we don't have the Kissingers and the Brzezinskis and the strategists at Chatham House and all the people in Davos that they were when they started this path. So what I think personally is that they've overplayed their hand, especially during the COVID, and they expected it to go a lot better because what you're talking about with the middle class, I believe one of the goals of COVID was to destroy the middle class worldwide completely, because the middle class are the people that will stand up and will fight for their families and their small businesses and their communities. If you're living off the government and you're where they want you, which is the poor or the people that the government is subsidizing, be it with welfare or Medicaid or any of the other social programs, they can kind of control you. And if you're the very wealthy, you're likely in this group or you can't be bothered. At least it seems that way. But if you are the middle class, you are a problem for them as far as I'm concerned. And another thing about what you were saying is that the governments, our governments, I consider the United States to be our government, DC, to be a fully captured entity. Because when I see Larry Fink right before the COVID talking about going direct to all the financial firms, talking about the fraudulent ESG score, which is just the track and trace surveillance credit score that would go from the corporations finally to us. But when they talk about going direct, what I see them talking about is saying, not only do the people have zero say in what's going to happen in our nation, but that the government really doesn't have a say what's going to happen in our nation, that really there's a globalist oligarch of billionaires, basically, what you're talking about too, military industrial complex, but there's many other facets to it that they consider themselves the stakeholders in this public-private partnership that is global. They're in all nations. And I say to people when they point to different places, I say, no. The people that are involved in this globalist takeover, this totalitarian globalism, Agenda 2030, I say, is the easiest way to explain it. They don't have an allegiance to any nation. They don't stand behind any flag. They don't care about any people. They care about their end game. That's why I call them the Fourth Reich. Because if you look at the Third Reich's plans, they're very similar, except for this time, you can't point to one nation. It's not one nation. It is a globalist entity. But as far as that, the government are kind of enablers and enforcers. And what happened in America that I think a lot of people do not realize is in 2015, and I think this happened in your country too, around the same time, Barack Obama signed on to Agenda 2030 and the 17 Sustainable Development Goals. And basically from that place forward, especially a big problem when Donald Trump threw a wrench into the globalist plan, but Agenda 2030 was kind of like, and this was before Rockefeller, Brzezinski, the UN, they're planning it, but they formalize it in 2015. Everything that has been done between now and then, and I believe going forward, is to achieve that. And that end goal is, I believe, the end of freedom, sovereign nations, privacy, liberty worldwide on a massive scale. When you look at this situation and you look at the 17 Sustainable Development Goals and Agenda 2030, it appears in the Netherlands that the trajectory has been exactly the same as it's been here. Do you see that as well? Hey guys, thank you for watching the show. I just want to remind you yet again that we really need to be very cautious of what is going on with the economy, both here and internationally. Most of us know that the BRICS nations are looking for a gold-backed currency to dethrone the dollar being the world reserve currency. They have an event coming up on August 22nd. The BRICS nations are all going. There are also 13 other nations that would like to join the BRICS nations. And this is not something to not pay attention to. We have to make sure that you protect your savings. And that is why I have chosen Beverly Hills Precious Metals. That is where I have gotten my gold and silver. I leave it in a depository. I know it's there. I've replaced it with my savings I've put there to make sure that I weather the storm no matter what, be it the central bank digital currency, the BRICS nations, the dollar goes into collapse, whatever may happen. I know 401k, IRA, backed by gold, as well as having my savings, at least an amount of my savings in gold, in the depository or sent to you at home, is the best way to make sure you maintain peace of mind and make sure that your savings and everything that you've earned is safe no matter what comes. We will get through this. All is not lost. America will return to greatness as it always has been. But between now and then, we have to be very smart and very cognizant of what's going on. So please go to Mel K Gold, or go to the MelKShow.com partners page and go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals, and my friend Andrew will take care of you. He's got a great team. Gold is the way to go right now, and I know that no matter what, I'm safe. So please do that for yourselves. We really care about you here. You're more like family and friends, and I hear from all of you a lot. So I just want to make sure that you guys are doing something proactive to be prepared. All will be well, but take care of yourself now. Being prepared is always a good thing.
Yes, and I would like to add that the great development is that communities are being weakened. At the national level, you're completely right about that. So national identities and national sovereignty is being weakened on a very structural basis through uncontrolled immigration. You're suffering from that in the US, but we're also suffering from it in Europe. The siphoning away of decision power to either globalist actors or international organizations. The World Health Organization is an example, or public-private gatherings like the World Economic Forum, where the greater agenda is being set and so forth. But it's also at the level of the family. It's also at the level of the assault on traditional sexuality through the LGBTQI plus propaganda that's now being presented in schools in the Netherlands. And from the age of 11 onwards, 11 children in my country are allowed to take hormone therapy, which block puberty and effectively makes you infertile. And from the age of 16 onwards, girls are allowed to have their breasts removed surgically. So I feel that this is, you know, this is all part of a trend of atomization. Our traditional identities are also weakened through a culture of self-hatred of our histories. Yes. So we have this culture that we have to apologize for everything that has happened in the past, right? There's nothing to be proud of. There's no history. There's no heroes that are being looked up to. Instead, we're taking down statues in Europe. That's a very common practice,
right?
Or to change the names of streets of historical heroes, people that have been seafarers or conquerors or adventurers. And instead, we have to apologize, we have to pay indemnifications. You also see it in the modern architecture, which I think does not project greatness, but instead creates a sort of sense of alienation. So, and finally, we see it in the expropriation of the farmers. I believe this got a lot of attention in the US, but it's been going on in the Netherlands for many years now, that the government is actively trying to pursue and to motivate farmers to give up their land, and is even threatening to do it forcefully if not sufficient numbers of farmers agree to the current proposition that they can sell off their land, which of course alienates our entire society from the land. I mean, if you're not producing your own food anymore, if you don't have that sense of the natural cycle of eating the meat that comes from your own land, of eating the plants that come from your land, of driving through the countryside and seeing people working the land, these are all elements, I would say, and that's what I liked so much in your introduction, where you said that they appear to be separate developments, but they all work towards the same end, and they achieve the same kind of society where we will live as people without a sense of identity and property and community, and live as atomized beings, separated from one another, even set up, polarized against each other. You know, vaccinated, unvaccinated. Oh, you're a Gentile, you're a Jew, you're a Muslim. This, that, all these oppositions that are being created by all these quote unquote crises. Even if you're nuanced about the situation in Ukraine, you are deemed a Putin lover, and then you are there's all these labels that they create. And the consequence is that nobody trusts each other anymore. We have this censorship on social media that makes it more and more difficult for each of us to reach out to each other and build, you know, alliances and find the truth. So there's this massive administrative state that takes care of our lives from birth till deathbed, right, controls everything, and the money is being made elsewhere at the maybe not even the billionaire level, but the trillionaire level.
I agree, but
this very dystopian future that's ahead of us, and I agree that the year 2030 is crucial in this, because that is what the political leaders across the Western world, the big corporations, and you mentioned Larry Fink, who is obviously very important because he's the CEO of BlackRock, which owns a significant part of the entire planet. Yeah. It's a concentration of wealth that I don't think we've seen at any previous moment in modern history. We might have to go back to the time of the Roman Empire,
right,
to see that kind of concentration of wealth, or I don't know, perhaps in feudal ages. And in a way, perhaps the comparison with feudal ages is not that bad, because we are, in a way, being reduced to some kind of new serfdom, I feel. And there's this, right, new feudalism. And you also had it in the Middle Ages, in the feudal times, that these people that were the nobility of European nations often intermarried internationally. So they didn't have that sense of national belonging. The king of France could easily intermarry someone from Austria. And they had this quasi-international network, and they divided wealth amongst each other. And the most of us didn't have anything. And we're sort of returning to that age. And I believe democracy and free market in the good way, and middle classes and community and family life and traditions can only thrive when we have more, you know, more equal division of wealth. And the interesting thing is that I'm deemed a far right person.
I think
the point I'm making is very mainstream and very moderate, and even in a way slightly left leaning, perhaps, because I as much as I oppose high taxation pressure, the fact is that the people up there, the trillionaires, the billionaires, are not paying any taxes at all.
Right, exactly.
They are texting us into poverty.
We just have to redefine things back to what they really mean. If you're far right, yes, I would say it's between right and wrong. Okay, so if you're far right, you're way right. I'm concerned.
I like that.
I am far right too. I get it. And it's all BS. They also, what we have to understand too, is that these people do not hide it. This is the beauty part. This is why I do believe that we, I don't want people to be doom and gloom. First of all, this is a very small group of people compared to how many people are on this planet, and even how many people are awake to it worldwide. People just feel very demobilized. I remember when Donald Trump one time gave an interview, and I happen to believe that he knows what we're talking about very well. And he said that there's a group of people that control all the money from the very top. They have their own military. They have their own, you know, way of doing business. Like you said, they don't really pay taxes. They live on a different plane. And basically, they don't want us to know about them. And the problem is that because of technology, which a lot of them are very involved in the creation of a lot of the technology that we're dealing with now, or they funded it, or they financed it in one way or another, or they're regulating it, or they're on their own websites. This is why when people say, and I do my presentation on who are they, because on their own websites, this would be, for me, the World Economic Forum, World Health Organization, IPCC, some of the different, I call them philanthropaths, but international NGOs and philanthropies, the Rockefellers and all the things connected to them. Then you can go to the World Bank, the IMF, the Bank of International Settlements. You can throw in some of the NASA and NATO, and you go to any of their websites and you put in 2030. And they all in the Vatican, they all have a 2030 plan. And if you look into their 2030 plan, they're identical. And then you say, well, how would it be? So this is where I get to the 17 development goals and how they're upside down. If you go through these goals, this is what I really do believe is they have all these groups and these working groups, and they've divided them into these 17 development goals to find the solutions to achieve Agenda 2030. To me, the 17 Absolutely. Development goals are sustainable only for them. So it is sustainable for their fiat currency, top-down Bank of International Settlements, World Bank, IMF, opaque banking cartel, and then the group underneath that we talk about. And if you go and you look at it, not only have the UN and the World Economic Forum have formal agreements, but so do the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum and the UN. And then you look and you're like the IPCC and the BIS and this group, and they're all together and they all work together and they don't hide it. The only people that don't believe it are the people that don't want to see it because they don't hide it. And I think that that's a good thing for us and people that are trying to do what we're doing. And I call the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, the 17 Development Goals to full track and trace surveillance and the end of freedom, exactly. liberty, and sovereignty on planet Earth sustainable for them. And I don't think it's going to work out for them. So talk a little bit
why
about that.
In the book, yeah, in the book, I from page 268 onwards, I discuss precisely this. So I take all the 17 points and I explain what they mean in reality. So it's right. like first one, end poverty in all forms everywhere. It means you will own nothing and you'll be happy. It's just the opposite.
Right. And all money will be controlled by us.
Yeah. And hunger means they will take complete control over the food production, ensure healthy lives, and promote well-being for all at all ages. That means direct control by the World Health Organization right. over national policy decisions regarding pandemics and so on and so forth. Ensure inclusive and equitable quality education. That means LGBT propaganda at elementary schools.
Yeah,
so you can just, you can literally take all this. This is what George Orwell meant by Newspeak. It's just the opposite of what it means. It's not sustainable development. It's the end of development.
It's the end of innovation.
Yeah, they will sustain their position of control. And I'm very taken by your use of the word surveillance, because I believe that we're heading towards a surveillance society, that the kind of social control system that exists in China may very well be implemented here, that we're not that far oh, yeah. from technology, that which is called the smart household. I'm not sure if it's promoted in the US as
oh,
well.
Yeah, the
it's
smart
like a
yeah.
nice oh, thing. Yeah, yeah but it means that however long you take a shower in the morning,
right.
it will be registered by this smart meter. And when you are eating or buying up a lot of meat in the supermarket, your credit card will have a registration thing. It's even on camera in a World Economic Forum meeting where right. there are several CEOs from big banks who are explaining that they've now got the technology to connect your spending pattern right. to a carbon footprint.
Right.
This is where we're heading. And you're so right. It's in the open. They're discussing it in the open. They say we want to have this ready in 2030. And there's still a lot of people. I've been talking about this in the Netherlands, of course, for a couple of years. And now people are slowly waking up. And they're like, okay, he's not crazy. Oh, lots of things that he predicted are actually happening. Oh, wow. How is that possible? But there are so many people that just don't want to believe it because right. it's so scary. And it is scary. I admit it. It's a very scary direction that the world is heading in, but we must face it in order to stop it.
I think that's part of what they do, though. I think that these people, and we have to remember, a lot of these people involved here, they're generations of these kind of people. They groom their children. I call it the Poison Ivy League, but over there they have Oxford and Cambridge and schools all over the world. You know, a lot of these models came out of the Imperial College, you know, the ones for both climate change and COVID. They're all connected, and they put their kids or their whoever they're choosing to take over. I just think that this generation that's our age of these globalists are not that smart, and they're very arrogant, and they all the things that have hurt society have hurt them, and their strategy is not very good at this point. And what I see too is so also again, another reason to get your book is to look through those 17 sustainable development goals, because what our job is, you and I speak all over too publicly about this, is to say who is policing these goals. What, okay, so they have all these goals. Who is behind them? Because, you know, recently they've talked about they want a global climate tax. So you got all these, they have these COP conferences I talk about on my show. They have one coming up, COP 28, that they just put out 100 CEOs, all members of the World Economic Forum or a partner of the World Economic Forum, which is a good sign of who's involved. They're saying they need $3 trillion of our money to transfer to them when a lot of their partners are the ones that are actually causing any kind of climate disruption as it is. But so they want us to transfer that money. Well, who's going to be getting this global climate tax? When you start to ask questions like, well, who is policing this no hunger? Like, who's going to be overseeing the global digital ID? Where is our data going? That is another way to say you have to take the next step. The next question has to be, yeah, who is overseeing this? Because once you ask these people that question, then it turns into a Saul Alinsky debate where it's no longer about, well, let me tell you where the money's going, or let me tell you that. No. Then it becomes about attacking you. Because once you start asking who's going to be policing all these 17 development goals, who's enforcing them? Just recently, also, the World Health Organization, which I wanted to, we're running out of time and you have to come back, but the World Health Organization recently announced that they have expanded their, you and I both know that there's a treaty that they're working on. Unfortunately, the installed Biden, I call them the O'Biden regime because they're really Obama's regime. They're the worst of the worst in terms of the World Health Organization amendments, by the way. So they have this thing coming up. But what you and I know, and we know Google and all of them are defaulting to the World Health Organization to determine what science is real. They have changed the definition of pandemic to include systematic racism, diversity, equity, inclusion, gun violence, and climate change. So now the IPCC is now in tandem with the World Health Organization, and they have come up with something new, like our health or our common health, which is climate and health. So, I mean, they do it incrementally. You and I see it, but once you do see it, and this is why our work and your work especially is so important, you can't unsee it. Then you see it everywhere. You see how they keep pushing it together and together, and you're just supposed to accept it. And that's where I think they fail. I think they're overplaying their hand. They think that we're stupid, and we're really not.
And you can also ask the question, which activities are exempt from all these climate taxes? And that's private jets and cruises, right, and yachts. So
that's why I say it's absurd.
That gives you an idea.
Right. If you dig into it, though, this is why a book like yours, to go through with a highlighter and go look at these sites. Go look at what they're saying. It sounds great. We all want globalism to be holding hands. But really, what you and I know, and I believe what Donald Trump and other people that they've harmed, Orban, Bolsonaro, anyone that's ever gone against this group. And now you and I could do a whole show on color revolutions and regime change and why those happen. Because this is how, but they've gotten so, and I feel like when COVID came, like your book is about, they panicked, I think, because Donald Trump started pointing at it and dismantling it. And we had Orban and we had Bolsonaro and we had a couple other world leaders being like, wait a minute, this isn't what we want. We want all nations to be, make all nations great again within their sovereignty, their borders, language, and culture, and then cooperate with other nations as planned, which we think is globalization. Yeah. What they think is globalization is top-down control by a group of oligarch globalist billionaires, and we're redefining it. Now, I know that you are, so I want to get into solutions. You have started multiple things, which I've been saying are needed for a long time, and I will come to anywhere you are having an event for your anti-globalism global group, because this is what we need. sitting here and talking about it is one thing, but you, and why I'm such a huge fan of you, and you just spoke in California, and anywhere you go, anywhere I can go, and anywhere I can show, you are coming up with actual solutions to unite those of us worldwide that see this, because I think this is what scares them the most. Their arrogance, they're in your face, is because nobody's standing up, and you are. So let's talk a little bit about some of the solutions that you put together, especially the group that you have started.
I'd love that. And indeed, I am going to have to go in a couple of minutes, but I'd love to come back on your show and talk about it more. So what we've been doing as a political party, obviously, we've been talking about it in public as much as we can, in parliament, organizing rallies. We're the largest party in the Netherlands in terms of members. The Netherlands is, of course, a far smaller country than Germany, but the AFD, the Alternative for Germany, has 30,000 members, and we have 60,000 members. So that's relatively speaking, we're really, really significant in this country. And that enables us to set up all these parallel institutions. So we've set up our own elementary school, which is so exciting because we don't do all the climate change and all the vegetarianism and all the LGBT stuff, but children are, you know, learning, getting good basic education, but also lots of fun. They're going into the forest to find mushrooms, and then they prepare them. They have a week of Middle Ages life, so they live as if they were living in a castle with the swords and everything. So we have all these very exciting things. That's our school. We have an app on your smartphone that have connected several thousands of entrepreneurs, and that people can buy and sell stuff with each other, with like-minded people. And we're working on a way to have our separate payment system with perhaps a cryptocurrency that will be off the grid of a carbon footprint. And you can earn money by doing community work, right? By doing things for each other, for the party. You can you can have job applications, you can offer things, and then get back rewards and use our own currency, our own separate system. We have a publishing house, we have a television studio that we're broadcasting from, we're building up a network of national local farmers.
Great.
And that we're not just supporting them by giving speeches, but people can subscribe to their stuff. And they can get directly from the Dutch land food from the farmers. And we're cutting away the middleman, the supermarkets that are not giving an honest price to the farmers, which make them vulnerable for government pressure. And now we've set up this parallel network. And recently we announced that we're also going to participate in Belgium in the election. So we're also expanding. We're thinking of other European countries where we can get the network, as it were, the parallel network economy.
This is how we do it, you know, and what you are doing is so amazing. And even the 60,000, if we had 60,000 Americans that really understood the danger that our country is under, because it's very hard in America, because life still seems pretty normal for people. It's going to get not so normal very soon as we get closer to 2024. But all of the things that you are implementing are so crucial that the American people understand we must do too. Because these multinational corporations that we want to pull our money, we have our money, our time, our votes, all, we should be doing what you're doing all around the world. Now, you also have a counter forum that you're starting or you've been doing that I think people should also know about. I think the World Economic Forum, and that's not the only meeting. We know the COP meetings and other meetings. We need this. So you also have that. I know you have to run, but I want to talk about the World Economic Forum counter, because we do need that. And I think that this terrifies them. And I like them being terrified, because they manipulate us through fear. We need to manipulate them through fear of being exposed. That's what I say. So what's
a positive alternative. A positive alternative. So let's continue to cooperate. I'm really grateful for this interview, and I'd love to come back on your show at any point in the future.
Great. We'll do it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. And thank you for all the work you're doing. And I look forward to talking to you many times. Keep up the good work. And God bless you and your family. We will win this. And it's going to take everyone to realize that being right is better than being wrong. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it, and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter, and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel K. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is going to look like. I'm going to do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm going to bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof. It's cancel proof. It's truth. It's transparency. It's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel K, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started. Oh, I hope you're enjoying the show. I was just talking on my new Patriot Mobile service. I have to tell you, I'm so excited. They are incredible. They are America first. They align with my values. And you know what? It's unlimited minutes, unlimited text, Wi-Fi calling, unlimited data, high speed, everything that you could use, just like everyone else. We have our time, we have our vote, and we have our money. And the great thing about Patriot Mobile is your service will be exactly the same. Difference with Patriot Mobile is they are an America First company. And what they do is they reinvest their money into causes that matter to me and matter to you and matter to this nation. At Patriot Mobile, those causes are the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the Constitution, and our children's future. So please go to themelkshow.com. Patriot Mobile is a partner of ours. Please use the code MELK. What I can tell you too is that they are supporting me and they are supporting creators because they believe in the First Amendment. They believe that censorship is wrong and they are going to put their money where their mouth is. Do what you can for the creators out there that are doing what I'm doing. Please go to Patriot Mobile, MELK Show. All I can say is thank you so much, guys. Supporting my partners supports me, and Patriot Mobile is absolutely awesome. I checked them out. We're switching to Patriot Mobile, and we hope you do too. Thank you so much.